Step right, right on left.
1 foot 2.
Left, right.
Cobra!
Here we go again.
Oh, here we go again.
Same old song again.
Same old song again.
March.
Marching down the avenue.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo at Grizzly Academy.
I'm Kyle Martin, and I'm the principal director of Grizzly Challenge Charter School, which is the educational component of Grizzly Youth Academy.
So this is a real important time, and that this is the 25th anniversary of Grizzly Youth Academy.
Right. So we just clocked our 25th year, and every year we have two groups of students come through. So that means we've seen 50 different classes come through Grizzly Youth Academy, and it just keeps growing and getting a little bit bigger and a little bit better with each new cycle. So, and then we have new challenges that we face with every incoming group of students, but it's pretty amazing to see what happens here.
And you draw kids from all across the state and out of state.
Right. So generally, they have to be a California resident. So they're in California. Some of them just recently, you know, they might just move here and then start with us. And we do get kids from across the state. We have two other sister programs. So there's a program called Sunburst, and that's in Los Alamitos. Mm-hmm. And then there's a program up in the Sacramento area, Lathrop, that's called Discovery Challenge. We try to sort of divide up the state so that Discovery takes the far northern California counties. We take the central section of the state, and then there's the Sunburst for Southern California. But because we've been around for 25 years, we actually kind of have some legacy students where they might live really close to one of those other programs, but a brother or a sister or a parent at this point in time came through Grizzly, and so they want their sons, daughters, relatives to come through this particular program. Mm-hmm. So we do still see that pretty widespread of where we're getting to the students from.
One of the interesting things has to do with recruitment, how you connect with the kids and how they step up to the plate and decide to come.
Right.
And as we both know, it's not the mothers, it's not the judge, the kid has to say, I want to go, right?
Exactly. They have to actually apply to be in this program, so they have to put that desire to turn their lives around on paper or on a computer at this point, it's all digital, and really explain their backstory and what they want to accomplish by coming to this program. There's a bit of a tryout period for that, so they'll come for a weekend and sort of get that drill and marching around and the basic procedures and processes of being here at Grizzly. They'll experience that before fully committing, so they kind of know what they're getting involved with, because it is a definite change of lifestyle for them. Yeah.
Interesting. How long does the program go per class?
That's a good question. So this part's called the residential phase, when they're actually living here and going to school here, and that part of the program is 5 months. So they're here for 5 months, living, eating, having fun, going to school. But the program, which is actually a change this year, follows them for another 2 years.
Oh,
there's
wow.
A department of the National Guard, and that's called the OAR, Outreach Admissions Recruitment. And they'll continue to monitor the students at a minimum once a month to make sure they're still kind of on track with what plans they made while they were here residing.
Interesting. As you know, my wife was an instructor here for a decade.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty familiar with the history of Grizzly and what happens here.
Sure.
But one of the things that a lot of people don't quite understand, and it evolves, like you said, the post program used to be, I think, 6 months.
Yeah.
And now they've stretched it out for obvious reasons.
Right. We really want to get that longitudinal, making sure that this isn't just a temporary success, but that they really have these new habits of mind that they can carry on. So that's a change for 2 year follow-up.
And I've covered boot camp programs across the country. South Dakota, I went to one and they shut it down. I think they killed a couple of kids.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was pretty brutal. Wow. It was like going to a prison.
Yeah.
But the reason why a lot of boot camp programs do not work is because of that absence of follow-up post time. And the other ingredient I want you to talk about a little bit is the mentorship.
Right. So the students do have mentors that agree to be part of this program. That's actually slightly changing again, sort of along with the 2 year follow-up. Mm-hmm. The same training and the same requirements that were there for mentors for each of these students, we're now requiring the parents to do that same training
engagement.
Yes, because we really see that for the long haul, we need to really, in a lot of cases, bridge the students with their parents.
Yeah.
And the parents need that training.
And that is so critical because it's all about post time here.
Right.
You know, what happens. As I alluded to in South Dakota, one of the problems with a lot of the boot camp programs is that absence of mentorship mm-hmm. before and after.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think it's a critical component.
Let me interject for a moment. Yeah. Pre-time that a kid comes on base for the 5 months, I seem to recall there was like 4 or 5 months where you engaged with your mentor and whatnot before you arrived.
Yes.
Explain that.
Yeah, before a student actually is here on the grounds, mm-hmm. they do have, like, I guess for lack of a better word, a task list or assignments that they should be completing to prepare themselves for the program. And that is connecting with your mentors, with your family, start developing that plan, what you're starting to think about doing, what you're starting to think about accomplishing while you're here. We also are asking that all the students start participating in their communities and logging community service hours before arrival, just so because there's a lot of giving that our students give back to this community.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to get in that habit and start feeling the rewards of being a contributor.
One important question has to do with, again, recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the kid that has to step up to the plate and say, I want to go to Grizzly, correct?
Correct.
That being said, I remember hearing years ago, my wife said that one of the primary sources of recruitment are graduates.
Yes.
They come back in the hood and then see their little cousin screwing up and going, dude, you've got to go to Grizzly. Is that correct? Still?
Definitely. We actually, students are going back to those communities. When we first started this particular cycle, we had everyone gathered together for an orientation. We asked, how many of you have a family member or a close friend that attended Grizzly? And if I were just to estimate, I'd say 90% of them have a hand go up in the air. That it's really word of mouth and mm-hmm. seeing the effects of the program that draws more students to continue to come here.
And I don't think there's a better testimonial to an engaging program than to have your primary source of recruitment being graduates.
Right.
I mean, what a testimonial.
Yeah, yeah. They see the proof is right there. they've lived it. So, yeah.
How many kids are on base for each 5 month cycle, and how many platoons do you have?
Good question. So, we just expanded. So, the federal government and state government funding of the National Guard program, they fund 220 graduates.
Per cycle.
So mm-hmm. we'll take a little bit more than that because we are going to lose some students.
Yeah.
Right. But that's our graduating class target is about 220 mm-hmm. twice a year.
So that breaks down into platoons of 40 plus?
A little bit like, if you call it, there's 3 male platoons and mm-hmm. 1 female platoon. The female platoon's a little bit larger, like 60 plus mm-hmm. cadets in it. And then each of the rest of the cadets, the males, are all spread out between the other 3. So right around 50 per platoon, okay. except that slightly larger female platoon.
So it's really interesting. The model of Grizzly is twofold. It's military conditioning and training mm-hmm. and boot camp and Shark Week attack.
Right.
But it's also a parallel of full academics.
Yes.
So these kids are going to school here. They talked about getting their GED or full graduation while they're here.
Right,
or going back.
Right. Every time we get a new group of students, we have a new batch of paperwork that we need to sort of siphon through to find out what we're dealing with. So we have to look through all the transcripts. We're going to look through individual education plans, expulsion plans, behavior plans, and see where we're at. And we adjust our school schedule accordingly. Sometimes we might have more students that are within range to earn their high school diplomas while they're here with us.
A full diploma,
fully mm-hmm. accredited. Or we might have more students that are on the younger side that are going to be returning to their high school, and we need to offer different courses to meet their needs.
So a kid that gets a full diploma mm-hmm. while they're at Grizzly, does it come from the National Guard, or does it come from their school district?
It comes from our school, Grizzly Challenge Charter School, which is authorized under the San Luis Obispo County Office of Ed.
So their diploma is a San Luis Obispo County Office of Education diploma.
More or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like, we go through the whole WASC process, fully accredited, addressing all the state standards. So it's a completely valid diploma. Yeah.
Some kids choose GED. Why is that?
You know, we'll have a lot of students, and I've seen this population sort of growing over time. A lot of students are very bright, very capable, but they have not engaged in school. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they find themselves 17, 18 years old, and they have only a handful of high school credits.
So it's their path of least resistance.
Yeah, so it's going to be a longer haul for them to earn that high school diploma. Mm-hmm. And so maybe testing out, we offer GED or HiSET tests or the Chesapeake, which is another option for those students so they can complete their high school careers and move on to that next phase of life.
We talked a little bit about academics. Let's talk about the military model on base during the Grizzly program.
Sure.
You have State Guard.
Correct. So
in uniform.
So through the application process, parents or guardians bring in the students, and they actually sign over guardianship to the National Guard. So while they're here, our director on that side will be their parent guardian, having educational rights and medical rights and all the rest of it. Whatever might pop up, they're going to handle it. So that's kind of the umbrella. And then students are placed within one of those platoons that we mentioned earlier. Within that platoon, they have a lot of identity. We have our top dogs, our Wolverines, the Rough Riders, the Cobras. So it gives them a sense of belonging, a sense of identity.
And that's really the positive side of the military model. For a lot of these kids, they have that stigmata of the neighborhood where they grew up.
Right, right.
So they've been branded, stuck. But now it's this literal clean slate.
Yes.
Where not only is your hair shaved, but your clothes are taken away, and there's this equanimity.
Yeah.
I have to talk about that.
Yeah, really, the uniforms and the military processes and procedures, it does just sort of strip away some of those negative identities, or I should say maybe competitive identities. It's really everyone starting at ground zero and moving in the same direction, which is a positive direction. So it's not a matter of identifying where you're from based on what pair of shoes you're wearing.
Yeah,
we're all wearing the same boots. Yeah.
My stats are a little dated, but people will tell me from the outside, oh, Grizzly, that's just a recruiting device for the National Guard and the military. But yet the statistics prove otherwise, correct?
Yeah, we actually, the students, unless it's part of their game plan, we don't blanket give them the ASVAB for military recruitment. We don't have recruiting presentations. We will have students that will enlist in the military, and that's usually in the single digits as far as a percentage of our students that want to pursue that path.
So that being said, the number of kids that go through the Grizzly Youth Challenge Program, no more, maybe less than the civilian population of kids who never went here join the military.
Correct? Right. I think it pretty much mirrors what you'd see in any high school setting. Interestingly, if I were to just guess that, let's say 10% of the students came here thinking they wanted to be in the military, 10% might do it, but it's never the same 10%.
Exactly. I remember some of the kids arriving and, you know, I'm going to join the military and kick in doors.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time they're done, they go, this is not for me.
Right. Whatever vision they had in their mind, it's either educates them and like, oop, nope, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Yeah. That's not what I'm going to do. And then for others, they never thought about military, but they experience it and they feel like they're supported in this kind of environment, and so they will pursue it. But again, it's right around 5% of any student body that we get through.
One of the things, as you know, I've been embedded in the classrooms with the kids over different times, make a change day and whatnot. One of the things that most impresses me is consequences. In a typical public school system, the teachers are overwhelmed and they don't have that backup support. There was a classroom situation where little Johnny Jones is sitting there doing math, and Beth, my wife, goes, you know, do your homework. And the kid goes, you know, I have a problem with math. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, really? So she gets Sergeant Johnson, who takes little Johnny Jones out, and they run laps and push up. And they put him back in the seat, and they go, now where were we?
Right.
And the point of that story is, at Grizzly, there are consequences for every action or inaction that there might not be in a typical public high school situation.
Right. So we do have something called a BRF, where we like a behavior referral. And that's where we document if there's a behavioral issue. But that can also be a positive. We want the guard to know when students are kind of going above and beyond. And I would say that our positives would outnumber our negatives 2-1, that we really catch our kids doing the right thing. But there are times where, like in any school, a student might not want to comply or be, they might be defiant. And so we do have that support of the National Guard. They're always here on campus, and they're there to turn that student around. Sometimes it's just a conversation. Sometimes it's something more like, okay, you got to run a lap or do push-ups and get and kind of clear your head. It all really does seem to come from a positive place, though. Sometimes students just need that break, and that physical activity gives them that break in more ways than one, and then they're reset and ready to go back in the classroom.
One of the interesting things, you might even be too close to see or hear some of it, but I know, Beth, my wife has received emails and letters from graduates 2 years later.
Sure.
You know, I'm in the Air Force now, thanks to you.
Yeah.
And time and again, they will say, you know what I miss is consequences and parameters, knowing what they can do and can't do.
Right.
They come in kicking and screaming and rebelling, but post-graduation, they miss that. What they want in their lives are knowing what the parameters are of right and wrong and what they can do, can't do.
Right. I think, you know, one of the big factors for a lot of our students, the vast majority of these students, is the environments that they came from were very inconsistent, very unpredictable. They didn't know what they were going to be facing on the other side of the front door when they opened it. There could be a new family member that's moved in. There could be a family member that they're never going to see again, suddenly gone. Suddenly there's a giant new screen, big screen TV hanging on the wall, and they wonder, how do we pay for that? Well, we'll figure it out later. But now the furniture's gone a month later because it's gotten repossessed. Just so much instability. And I think that's what the military model and what the school also provides, is they know what to expect. They know that they're going to be supported. They know where those guardrails are for them on what they can and cannot do. And they find comfort in that. I think we all find comfort in that stability, and that's what we really provide for them while they're here.
Very cool. Okay, 25th anniversary Grizzly Youth Academy. Looking forward, what do you see?
The big forward plans for Grizzly is to give them, to expand this program, not necessarily bigger numbers, bigger school, anything like that. We want to give them another option so they can continue to have this, that stability that we've talked about for a longer period of time. This has sort of been spearheaded down in Orange County. There's a follow-up program called Job Challenge. So these are challenge programs. Any of the students that complete a challenge program have the opportunity to then apply for this program, this job challenge.
And it's so this would be, again, residential on base,
right,
living in barracks.
Yes.
But it's kind of like phase two, postgraduate.
Right. Actually, it's a lot more freedom. They do have supervision of National Guard members. But they're then going to their classes at a community college. The partnership right now with the Job Challenge is those students are enrolled at Long Beach City College, and they're transported over there, and they don't have to even worry about priority enrollment. Mm-hmm. They pick a pathway, and they can choose a nursing pathway, a construction technology, auto body and mechanics, construction tech, and they can be certified in a particular field that's actually also jointly run with union support, so they can get job placement. So again, that's we're looking to expand that.
So that's going on at Los Alamitos right now. But your vision is to embed that here at Camp San Luis.
Exactly, and we're in such a perfect situation being next door neighbors to Cuesta College.
Yeah, no kidding. They can walk to school.
Exactly. We could just open the gate and have them walk over there. But we are looking to be expanding in that direction in the next maybe 2 years.
I've heard rumors about the name for that program. What is it settled out to be?
All I've heard at this point is that it would just be called another job challenge program.
Okay, because I heard something like Starbase.
There's actually another program that is opening up this summer, and that's called Starbase. Very similar, but that's for fifth graders, and it's a 5-session, no-charge Starbase.
Fifth graders.
Yeah, fifth graders. Not necessarily at risk or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just that they would come onto the grounds and...
What would attract them? How would they recruit the fifth graders?
Yeah, it's a free program, and schools can then sign up...
Through the National Guard.
Through the National Guard. And the students would then just be getting these modules of very high-end STEM activities. So the science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether that's rocket launching or computer coding. but doing that with National Guard members, and it's a good opportunity for our Grizzly cadets to actually mentor some of those young fifth graders and support them as they do these different STEM modules here.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, I've hogged enough of your time. You're the commander-in-chief here on base. So I have to let you go. To learn more about Grizzly Youth Challenge Academy,
sure.
Where would you direct us?
We just posted our new website a couple of weeks ago, and I would just Google us with Grizzly Youth Academy, mm-hmm. and you'll find most of the information you could be looking for right there. And you can also contact us through that website and ask us any other questions we could possibly answer for you. And my name again is Kyle Martin, and I'm the principal director of Grizzly Challenge Charter School in partnership with Grizzly Youth Academy.
Kyle, thank you so much, man. This is great.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for coming. Anytime.
I'll have to come back and volunteer some more.
Please do.
All right. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo at Grizzly Youth Challenge Academy.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to.